Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Who came up with that ditty, huh? We've all been at the end of very hurtful words. Truth be told, sticks and stones hurt a whole lot less than unkind words. Well, in Psalm chapter 4, if you would turn there, David too had his experience of unkind words spoken against him. Would you stand with me as I read this psalm? To the choir master, with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your bed and be silent. Selah. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and their wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you because you are a God who answers us when we call. You are gracious and merciful and hear our prayers. Nothing, O Lord, escapes your sight. Not even the tiniest unjust word spoken against us. You alone are righteous, and your justice is sure. You alone are our ultimate source of joy, peace, and security. Thank you for the presence, the promise of your presence in our lives, and that presence is constant. We praise you that you alone are our defender and salvation. Lord, we confess that there is never any need for us to doubt your love and your care for us. Precious Heavenly Father, use this psalm in our lives today, even in the midst of uncertainty, to give us peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. With your Bible still open, let's unpack Psalm chapter 4. David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this, to the choir master with stringed instruments, Niganoth, a psalm of David. This portion of Scripture is indeed part of Scripture. The author, God's Holy Spirit, instructed David, the human writer, to record these initial words. Now, unlike Psalm 3, where David identifies himself as the human author, and identifies the specific occasion for the psalm, this psalm of David does not identify for us the specific occasion. But David chooses to give us instructions regarding this psalm anyways. We know that it was to be a song that the choir director taught the people to sing with the accompaniment of the niganoth, or stringed instruments. David identifies no specific event that drove him to God in prayer, no specific event to pen these words of this song, but therein lies the beauty of this song. All of God's people, all of the people of Israel, can identify to a similar situation in some way or another, and with the Spirit's aid, learn from this song and be encouraged by its truths. David instructs God's choir master to instruct God's people what to do when they find themselves in distress, whatever shade that distress might take in their lives. Answer me when I call, O God, my righteousness. When trouble overtakes you, and believe me, it has, and it will, when heartache, affliction, and sorrow are boxing you in, when you are overwhelmed and desperate over the situations of your life, when you are pressed in upon by hurt and pain caused by the words of others, David is teaching us by his own example to cry out urgently and directly to God. Just a few psalms later, in Psalm 18, verse 6, he says, "In my distress, I cried to the Lord for help. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry reached his ears." Now, the diverse particulars of our distress should always lead God's children always to the same place, God. If you remember, just a couple weeks ago in our study in the book of Exodus, we found the people of Egypt looking behind them to see the Egyptian army marching after them. Before them was the Red Sea. They were hemmed in, and they too were trapped, overwhelmed by the circumstances of their life. And in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, Moses says this, "And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and God delivered them." David does not cry out to an impersonal God that he did not know anything about. David is very specific about the character of God that he cries out to. He says in verse 1, "O God of my righteousness." This particular aspect of the character of God is specific to what David is going through. Without going into much detail at this time, let me just read to you verse 2 again. "O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?" So when David urgently cries out to the God of his righteousness, he is crying out to the God who loves justice. He is calling out to the God who will defend him from falsehoods and lies. He is praying to the God who sees rightly and is totally accurate in his judgments and who will always act rightly. He is calling out to the same God that Abraham called out to when he said the following in Genesis 18, verse 25, when God was considering destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham says this about God. He says, "Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right and just?" David is praying to the God who is not frustrated by the evil lies of men against David, God's anointed. This God is not fickle concerning his justice. This God does not stick his wet finger up in the air to see which side in the argument he should take. This is the God who is impartial, the God who is faithful to himself in all of his holiness, the God who is righteous not only in his character but in all of his ways. David prays to this God, his vindicator. The author of Scripture says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." David knows his God, and he is certain of his righteousness. How can David be so sure that God is just in all of his ways? Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. Now, David, as a king, was required by God to make a copy of Scripture every day of his life. And during his copying of Scripture, I'm sure he came across this particular passage. Deuteronomy 32:4. "The rock, his work is perfect, for all of his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, righteous and upright is he." But also, not only is he sure because the scripture that he copied in his own handwriting says it, he's also experienced God's justice. Verse 1, second part, "You have given me relief when I was in distress." David recalls with confidence God's past faithfulness to him. This is very picturesque language in the Hebrew. Distress in the Hebrew gives us an image of being pinned in, backed up into a corner, trapped, paralyzed by fear. There's no way out. David had been in those situations more than once in his lifetime. Remember the Hebrews trapped between the Red Sea and the army of the Egyptian? This is the word picture that distress provides for us. And the word picture for relief is that of an open space. Some of your translations use the word enlarge. Isn't that exactly what God did when the people of Israel were trapped? He opened up a space before them to pass on dry land through the sea. When I was feeling pinned in by the lies of my enemies, God, you gave me a wide open space to breathe. Not only did David appeal to the fact that God and his righteousness would come to his aid, he also appealed to his kindness. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. David knew from the Torah, the law, the first five books of the Bible, that God was a gracious God. There was no way that God would not listen to his cry. God is a gracious God. David is totally undeserving. David now transitions from speaking to the gracious God who would vindicate him to instructing the people of God who had made themselves his own enemy. These are the godless pagans who are in Israel. These aren't their neighbors, but these are fellow Israelites within their border. Briefly look at verses 4 and 5 that identify them as breakers of the law. It says, "Do not sin, offer sacrifice, right sacrifices, put your trust in the Lord." These are not the Philistines. These are fellow Jews. Paul had them in his day, religious leaders who spoke evil of him, Jesus as well. Those who boast of their special relationship with God, but whose hearts are far away from him. Look what David first says to these Jewish men who are speaking lies against them. Look what he says. "Oh men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?" Remember, this is a song that the choir master is teaching to the people to sing in the day of their trouble. And God's Spirit will use his song sung by the people of Israel not only to encourage those in distress, but also to convict every generation of Israelite who pretend to be close to God but are indeed far away from him. And how particularly in David's life are these people sinning? The text tells us they are despising God's anointed. David, the king, their Messiah with a small m. They are shamefully dishonoring him who was given honor by God. David was God's chosen servant. He was anointed by Samuel when he was still young to be king of Israel. He was the one who the people loved in the place of their first king, Saul. If you remember, they used to sing praises to David. 1 Samuel chapter 18, when they would return from battle, the women would sing to one another as they celebrated, "Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. The people loved David. But at whatever stage this psalm was written, these same people who were once praising David were now shaming David. Shaming David in his God-given role as king. They might have been saying things like, "You no longer deserve to be king. You committed adultery with Bathsheba. You killed her husband. God has no further plans for you as king. We no longer respect your policies and your decisions. There are others who could do a far better job than you, David. We pledge our allegiance to another. One of the reasons that many commentaries believe this was written during the time that Absalom, his son, sought to overthrow David. But some of the same things were said during many situations in his life. Not only were they dishonoring and undermining him in his role as God's ordained king, they were maligning his reputation as a man. They were making up stories about him, disparaging his reputation, impugning his motives, repeating false lies and narratives about him. And David wants it to stop. He asked these men, how long are you going to continue in this narrative, this charade, this fake news? And then he says, Selah. Remember, we've talked about this before. It's a musical interlude. It's a pause. It could be a change of key. It could be an update in tempo. But for musical purpose, it was there for the people to pause. Think about it. Think about what I've just said. Think about this. And then he goes on and says, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. He's saying to these men, these wicked men, your attempts to undermine my role as king are futile. Why? Because God is for me. That is why David has called out to God his righteousness. God, David knew that where he stood with God. He is instructing his people, not the Philistines, that is, if God is for me, who can really be against me? The word godly here is closely related to the Hebrew word hesed, which is tied to God's faithfulness. David is saying that God is faithful to those who are faithful. God is devoted to those who are devoted. God is loyal to his covenant promises. God had given David the throne. David knows that his best defense against the lies of men is what God has declared to be true about him. What God has declared about his steadfast love towards David. David knows all of this when his heart cries out to God in verse 1. Here he is telling those who are against him. And he is instructing all subsequent generations of those who sing this song that God is always the vindicator of those who are righteous and those who suffer unjustly. But the song and David do not quit instructing us. He says more to the men who are unjustly repeating lies about David. He says this to them. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent, Selah. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. Remember, these are the words to those lying about David and dishonoring his role as the Lord's anointed. Now, Paul repeats these verses in Ephesians 4 to the church in Ephesus. And if you study Ephesus, like we have, it's also in the context of a church, members, brothers, who are lying about each other and to one another. The word angry here in verse 4, and I spoke about this when we went through this passage in Exodus, but briefly, anger can also be translated in the Hebrew to tremble. In fact, in the Psalms, in several occasions, angry is translated by the translators as tremble. Psalms 18, verse 7. Then the earth reeled and rocked, the foundations also of the mountains trembled. Same word. Psalm 99, verse 1. The Lord reigns, let the people tremble. Same word as anger in Psalm chapter 4, verse 4. David is saying to those liars, I'm not the one, although I'm being spoken of in an unjust way, I'm not the one who should be shaking in my boots. Your lies are not intimidating me. I do not doubt God's steadfast, faithful love to me in the least. In fact, you should be the ones that should be trembling. God is my righteousness. He will vindicate me. My God could take you out in a flash. Tremble, shake in your boots, be angry with your prolonged love affair with falsehoods and shamelessness. Quit sinning. Quit telling lies, because God is my vindication, and His vindication could come at any moment. Before you doze off tonight, spend some time examining your own heart. Be silent. Quit lying. Quit spreading falsehoods. God is my vindicator. And then He instructs them, offer a right sacrifice, or offer a sin sacrifice, a blood sacrifice for sin. You do not want God to have to pay. You don't want God to be angry at you. You don't want God to have you pay for your own sins by receiving His just judgment. Trust in the Lord. I am exactly where God wants me to be, on the throne as king. But also trust in the means whereby your sins can be forgiven. Trust in His sovereignty. Trust in His care. Trust in His justice. But there seems to be another group of people that David addresses to now. He has addressed God in verse 1. He has addressed his sinful subjects in verses 2 to 5. But now in verse 6, he appears he is addressing those who are observing what is going on in the life of David. They see the injustice. They hear the lies, and they have become despondent. They have lost hope that things will get better. This is their cry, and they seem to be the silent majority of Israelites in Israel. Verse 6, there are many who say, "Who will show us some good?" They are saying in their hearts, murmuring to each other, when are things going to change? When is God going to do something about all these lies? When is He going to execute His justice? Can we trust Him to do right? Perhaps God is no longer in control. Perhaps these enemies will get the upper hand. Perhaps He has left us. And in response to David seeing the heart of his discouraged subjects, David says the following to them. He says the following to God for them. He says, "Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord." David is quoting a part of Holy Scripture. Some of the words that he has copied probably on more than one occasion. In chapter 6 of Numbers, if you would turn there, Numbers chapter 6. Let me read to you what God says to Moses. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you." That's the part that David quotes in Psalm chapter 4, verse 6. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. David is asking God to demonstrate His presence to the people of God. In Scripture, God's absence is oftentimes illustrated by God hiding His face. Psalm 13, verse 1 says, Oh, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? The people do not feel secure in God's presence. Psalm 27, verse 9, hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God, of my salvation. And there are many more psalms like this in Scripture. And in Psalm chapter 4, David is asking God to show evidence of His presence to His people by lighting up their face with joy. How do I know that? Well, look at verse 7. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O God, O Lord, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. David is saying to these men and to himself, there is more joy in the presence of God in our lives than their lives, even if they had won the lottery. The harvest. The harvest time was a time of joy. He says, you have given us more peace than they could possibly imagine. Proverbs 28:1 speaks about these type of men who are speaking lies about David. They might look good on the outside, but they says the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. David says it this way in the psalm. God's presence with him allows him to lie down and sleep. David says joy, peace, and safety is always with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. David's confidence in God's continual presence with him in the spite of all the lies spoken against him bring him rest. David is no longer restless. He is a restful man. David is a peaceful man, even though he is surrounded by distress. And David is confident of God's justice, even when he is being accused wrongfully. David trusts in God's safety when others might feel insecure. David replaces the lies of men with the truth about who God is. But what is true, or what was true about David, is even more true about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what the author of Peter, look what Peter says in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or to the governor as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and to the gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin. Neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. What is true? What was true about David? What was true about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was treated unjustly, is also true for us. Whatever role that we take in this present world, whether you're a wife and your husband speaks unkind words about you, if you're a husband and your wife speaks unkind words about you, or a child, or an employee, or a boss, or a student, or a teacher, or a citizen, God is with you when you suffer. You can call out to him. God will vindicate you. You entrust your lives, dear brothers and sisters, dear church, dear Grace Church, into the loving care of a God who has promised never to leave us. This is good news indeed. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that we can call out to you and you hear us. You do not miss a thing in our lives. Your attention to the details is awesome, holy, perfect. Lord, may your Holy Spirit use these words in our lives at the right moment. Maybe even today. But if not today, this week, maybe even 10 years from now, recall to us the promises of Psalm chapter 4. Lord, examine our own hearts right now. If there is any unjust words being spoken by us, Lord, help us to find forgiveness in Christ alone. These things I pray in his name. Amen.